We're going to look at St. John chapter 20 and verse number 25. It says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." I want to talk about coming back to life. Coming back to life. I think that one of the hardest things in the world is to lose something that you can't get back. Amen. The returning of something, the reversal of something, something that you can't get back. And the aim of our sermon is for us to see why Easter is the most important miracle. We know that Christmas was a miracle. That was important, the coming of Christ. But the Easter miracle is even more significant in that the purpose of coming is achieved. And therefore, this is a very, the most important miracle. Amen. We know that there are a lot of things that you can lose, that you don't want to lose, that you can't get back. You don't want to lose your health because you can't get it back. Your health, somebody said, your health is your wealth. So we don't want to lose our health. We don't want to lose time because time is something that you can't get back. You cannot stop time. You cannot arrest time. You certainly can't get it back once you've lost it. If you're 30, you cannot be 23 again. If you're 40, you can't get 32 back. If you're 50, you can't get 51 back. Amen. It is the loss of something that you can't get back. And when I think about life is something, the loss of life. Amen. It's just sad to lose someone or lose something. But it's even worse, you could lose yourself. To lose your own life is something you don't want to do, because if you lose it, then you can't get it back. And so we look here at a story of a woman who had lost something. She had lost something. Mary had lost something. Mary had lost someone who was special to her. Mary lost something, and the Bible tells us that when she lost Jesus, she lost someone who had delivered her from a demonic-filled life, demonic-driven life. The man who had meant so much to her is now missing. She has lost something that is dear to her, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a friend, the loss of a child, the loss of a spouse. All these things are things that if you lose them, you can't get them back. And so Mary here has lost something that she can't get back. And so we find out when she lost someone who was special to her, she went and told Peter and John, and in verse 2 of this chapter. And then Peter and John, we find, goes and tell the other disciples, but Jesus had to come tell them in verse 20. And then we see where the other disciples runs and tell a man named Thomas, the other disciple. Thomas was the disciple that was missing when Jesus showed up with the other disciples. Thomas was a doubter. Thomas, his name means one who doubts. He is Thomas. He is called Didymus. Amen. He is called one of the 12 in verse 24. Didymus, they call him, was not there. Didymus means the twin. There were three sets of twins in these disciples, among these 12 disciples. And Thomas, called Didymus, was not there when Jesus came and met with the others. And so we find here simply that death had come. And Thomas here has lost someone, like others who have lost others who have died that was close to them. He's lost someone who was close to him. And so we look at the impact of it, of death, and we also look at how to get someone interested in coming out of death. And that's going to require some influence or influential individual to come and help them to refocus on the importance of death, the impact of death. We know that death saddens us. Death even depresses people. Death is something that is hurtful, and it leaves you hopeless, and it can leave you helpless. Death is something that we don't like to deal with. It leaves an impact on us. It leaves a void. It leaves a vacancy in our lives. Death is something that takes things away from us. Amen. We see the impact of it, but we see the influence, the interest rather. They tried to get him interested in what they had seen. They tried to get him interested in their own experience. In verse number 25, he says that we have seen the Lord, and but he said, I'm not interested except I see him, except I thrust my hand in his side, except I put my finger in his hands where the nail prints went in, I will not believe. And we find out that he was, when you start dealing with death, death is something that is, you cannot, when you're depressed over death, there's nothing else that can get you out of that mode. No words or no works, either one could help you. No one can say anything that will help you to be able to overcome it. Whenever death comes, amen, when you start talking about the works, amen, there's nothing that they can do. There's no cars that they can give you, and they all try to come around you and comfort you. But the truth of the matter is, when death has come, amen, you're not interested in anything. All you want to know is, amen, can they bring them back to life? And that's what's needed here in this text for Thomas to embrace the reality of the resurrection of that first Easter, was to realize that somebody must come back to life in order for him to believe in the resurrection. And that's what it is required of us if we are going to go to heaven, is we must also believe the resurrection story. We must believe it is a true story. It is a fact of history that Jesus Christ rose, even from non-Christian sources. There is proof that Jesus rose. And that's what Thomas wants here. Thomas wants some proof. Amen. But there is nothing that can substitute for proof as far as Thomas is concerned. He don't want to hear any words. He doesn't want to hear what you can do for him. Unless you can bring them back, then I don't want to talk to you. Thomas, we see that he was influenced by Jesus alone. The Bible tells us that he says, except I put my finger in the print of nails, except I put my hand in his wounded side, then I will not believe. What would it take for Thomas to be, to believe in Jesus having risen from the dead? Well, it took the Savior himself. Jesus Christ shows up. And after 8 days, we see in verse 26, that the disciples, rather, were within and they were behind closed doors. And Jesus showed up to Thomas and told him that he says, reach hither thy finger and put it in my hand. Reach here thy hand and thrust it in my wounded side. And he says, be not faithless, but believing. And Jesus showed up, and upon experiencing Jesus, we hear Thomas saying that, my Lord and my God. Amen. Jesus got Thomas to believe because verse 29 says that Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Amen. Jesus came back to life. And that's something that we can have comfort in as we celebrate Easter. It's not all about the fact that Jesus got up only, but it's about the fact that he conquered death so that everyone can get up. There's no one who has died that won't get up. And hopefully they'll get up in Jesus, because if you get up in Jesus, you're going to a better place. You're having a better life. If you get up in Jesus, heaven will be our home. And death has been defeated. And the good news that came from a grave was that he is risen. Jesus says that all you got to do is to believe. But the disciples had believed, and now Thomas believes. Thomas now is convinced. And what we must understand is that we too must believe. We must believe. We must receive so that we can achieve what God wants us to achieve. He wants us to let others know that they can come back to life. And we must believe. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And it all starts with believing. Amen. Amen. You've got to believe. You know about God, you confess him, but you got to believe in him. Although you know of him, he's got to know you. You've got to believe in him before judgment comes when he says, depart from me, I never knew you. We've got to believe. As we think about the fact of believing, we must understand that the disciples didn't believe at first, but Jesus appeared to the disciples, and we find out that they believed in verse 20. Peter and John believed in verse 8. And Thomas believed in verse 27 and verses 29. These disciples all believed. And that is the requirement. But it's interesting that Jesus not only needed them to believe, but he says, I want you to receive something. Amen. Jesus, when he shows up, he said, the Bible says that he breathed on them. Amen. He breathed on them. Amen. This is what has to happen for us to experience the resurrection. We must breathe, and he must breathe on us, because he says he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. We must receive something. If we are going to experience our own Easter, we must also receive. After we believe, we must receive the fact that the Holy Ghost now plays an important part. No longer is Jesus the focus of attention, but he says that I'm going to leave you, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave, and my comforter is going to replace me. I'm sending back the Holy Spirit. That's why he didn't want Mary to hold on to him. In verse number 17, he said, don't cling to me, Mary, because The game has changed now. Amen. The resurrection is a game changer. Amen. No longer are we now looking at Jesus, but we got to be looking at the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit replaces Jesus. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter. That comforter lives or should live in all of us. We should be the embodiment. Our bodies now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, receive something. Receive the Holy Ghost. He did not just stop with them knowing who he was and knowing that he had risen. He says, now I want to come into your heart. I want to come into your life and I want to rule you. Well, he says that I want you to receive the Holy Ghost. It's interesting when Jesus said that, he says, not only did they believe and receive, but they also had to achieve. When Jesus came back from the dead, he was not talking about the fact that he had walked on water or multiplied fish or opened blind eyes. He did not talk about the fact that he had delivered people from demons. He did not talk about any of those things. What Jesus talked about was sin. And in verse number 23, he makes a statement that we all must recognize. He didn't talk about all these other miracles that he did, but he talked about something that would deal with sin. The resurrection conquered death, which caused sin, according to Hebrews 10:14. The resurrection brought deliverance, and not only for Jesus, but for us, anyone who dies, whether it's from a coronavirus or whether it is from an accident on the street or whether it is in a hospital bed somewhere. We know that anyone who receives Jesus can receive life. And when they receive that life is that which conquers death. Well, I want us to understand that death was defeated. When Jesus came back, he didn't talk about those miracles. All he talked about in verse 23 was sin. He said, whosoever sins, whosoever sins you remit, amen. Whoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whoever sins you say they are not forgiven of, because you have my message. You have the new gospel message that deals with believing and receiving and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The whole message now is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have the message, and I want you all to carry the message. And anyone who does not believe and receive this message, then I want you to know, whoever sins you remit. If you hold forgiveness from them, they won't get forgiven. As my anointed, ordained apostles who are going to go out into the world, you now have to go and carry the message. And anyone who doesn't believe this message, you have the authority as my representatives to let them know your sins won't be forgiven. By the same token, whosoever sins are retained, amen. Whosoever sins are retained, they are retained. That word means if your sins are withheld. In other words, if you withhold their sins, then their sins will be withheld. Whoever sins, anyone you declare the message that you are forgiven and I'm withholding your sins because you believe the message, then they will no longer be responsible for their sins. Anyone you say is not saved won't be saved. Anybody you say is saved are saved. Those who is and those who are saved, then you must realize that it's all in your hand. Your job is to achieve something for the kingdom. It's not about sicknesses. It's not about healings. It's not about miracles. It's not about casting out devils. But it is all about forgiveness of sin that came from death. And now death has been conquered. He's victorious over death. The resurrection message has to do with sin. If you look at it, you'll see he mentioned whosoever sins are remitted. He keeps talking about sins. He rose up. When he rose, he didn't talk about the devil no more. He didn't talk about the death no more. What he talked about was sin. Sin. Sin was the problem. Sin caused death. Sin is what separates us from God. And now we don't have to be separated anymore, because whoever sins, you retain. Then their sins will be withheld from them. And we thank God for the fact that we have something to achieve. God sends them, once you are convinced about your belief in him and converted by receiving his spirit, then you are sent on a commission as Christians. The message of Easter is an Easter message that we must tell the whole world, a whole dying world, because one day this is all is going to come to an end, and we're all going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. And there may be some doubting Thomases around. Amen. There may be some doubting Thomases, some doubting Teresas even. There may be some doubters who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And you have to believe in order to receive. And then you can achieve getting someone else saved. Thomas, called Didymus, the one who doubted at first, this doubting twin no longer doubts. It's not Thomas called Didymus. He was no longer a doubter now. We're not talking about P. Diddy. We're talking about T. Diddy. Thomas is the one who got saved, and he's no longer a doubter, but he's someone who believes. He is a believer. Amen. And the door is open for anyone who wants to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, who will decide that they're going to be a believer and not a doubter. And Father, we thank you now for the opportunity of salvation. We recognize this Easter 2020 is a year that, again, the announcement is made as we celebrate your coming. You came, but we celebrate the fact that you rose from the dead after Good Friday, after they nailed your hands and pierced you in the side. We see this morning that sins have been conquered. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that the grave no longer can hold us. Thank you that, amen, that sin, amen, is no longer destroy us. We can spend eternity forever in heaven, but we must believe. We must receive, and we must achieve salvation for the world. And we thank you that you provided it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the Lord bless thee, keep thee, make his face to shine upon thee, lift his countenance upon thee, be gracious unto thee, and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right. Glory to God.